You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, this should give you an idea. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know I generally don't pay a lot of attention to recruiting, and that's fine if you do. We've been through this discussion before, but how the hell did I wind up with two coffees in here, by the way? That one's ice cold. So that must not be mine.
I'm going to say, did you?
This is mine.
Yeah, there we go.
It just turned noon. This is my fifth coffee of the day, and I'm not that much of a coffee drinker.
Decaf or regular?
No, we don't even have decaf back there.
Yeah, we do.
I didn't see it. Where was it?
We always have it back there.
We didn't today. See, did you look today?
No, I didn't look, but okay. I'm going to look right now because I guarantee I could find one.
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
No, don't
it, man.
Go.
It
was That's right. I've already brewed this.
A good meeting today. Well, you're not supposed to have that much caffeine. A little caffeine's good, but...
What do you mean? If I don't think it's affecting me, I think I'm fine. How can you even tell? I don't think it's made any difference at all. Listen, are you done with that sandwich? How are you doing? Let's go to break. Let's have guests. Let's talk. Are we done? What time is it? So, there you go.
I can imagine your cardiologist like that.
But having said that about recruiting, that I don't know... I am maybe because it's very pedestrian. You don't have to be really some sort of a recruiting guru. And the fact that it's a quarterback position, but the reputation of Chubba Purdy is what it is. And he was a verbal commit to Louisville. Now there's some talk that he's considering Florida State. Is that what the deal is? So we'll find out at 2:15 today. And frankly, if he says he's not coming, it will underscore why I'm pissed about talking about recruiting, because till they actually are here, there's no sense talking about it. But B, Louisville fans would have every right to be disappointed and angry and sad. But we don't know. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen. As I said, I'm sure 90% of you who follow it know more about it than I do. I just know that with no disrespect to the quarterbacks that are currently in the program, this kid sounds like he's got a reputation of a program-making quarterback. So that's quite a story. So we'll see about that. At, I believe, 2:15-ish our time, right? And we will let you know what he says. I'm sure it's going to be broadcast. I'm not sure we have to broadcast it, though, because all we want to know is, as I've said many times, tell us where you're going, give a nice, friendly wave. If you want to thank the coaches, fine, and then off you go, because we don't really need to get your thoughts on the impeachment process or the problems in the Middle East or anything like that. You're still a child, although a very talented child. So good luck to him, and good luck to the Cards, who hopefully can add a very talented quarterback to the fold. At 12:15 today, my buddy Dave Pasch, who I had the privilege of working with many years ago, he's going to have the call of UK and Utah, along with Bill Walton. And as you might guess, I'm sure we'll ask him a little bit about... Texter says, Purdy doesn't believe Vecchio is a chip either. We'll get into that.
What was our final... declaration on that? It's not a chip?
No, it's not.
It's like a disc. It's like, I forgot what it's called. It's like some sort
But this guy, this texter obviously thinks he is, because it says, Purdy doesn't believe Vecchio is a chip, so I never wanted him anyway. So anyway, that's a damned entertaining text. But Dave Pasch is coming up literally in 5 minutes. We'll get his thoughts. He's very prepared. We'll certainly pick his brain on the matchup. Kentucky is an 11-point favorite over the Utes. Did you say Utes? So there's a lot of games that I would not feel comfortable making a wager on. But pretty soon we're going to be giving you the basketball Sagarins because the football Sags have almost run their course. We've got another few weeks to go, plus the playoffs. Let me see. I had the weekend games in here. Anyway, I'll find them. But as I said, the Sagarins having a monster year. I believe it's 34-11. I believe that's right. Maybe 34-12. Either way, it's just an astronomical win percentage. So we'll see. We'll get to the picks for this week later on in the week, but we'll update that. And college, you know, college wound up being better than I thought it did. I really was not thinking that it was going to be that good, but it wound up being a 67% winning percentage, which is pretty damn good. It was 24 wins, 12 losses. That's exactly 67%. Winning 5 of 7 this last week, including the best bet of the week, Navy, which if you listen to the Sags on that one, you had a laugher on your hands because they just rolled the cadets of Army, which is exactly what the Sagarins said would happen. So there you go. What am I doing here? Oh, this. You wanted me to tell everybody about programming. I talked about Kentucky and Utah. They're back in action tonight. Cats take on Utah and Vegas. Remember, directly following the game, it's the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame show with Jason Entz. We're the first place that will take your calls here live from John Calipari and a lot more. Louisville basketball in action tonight as well. The Cards take on Miami of Ohio. Join Marcus Maben for the Louisville basketball pregame show at 7:30. That's on all ESPN stations here. That'll be live from the Gold House. And then immediately after the game, it's the Coors Light postgame show with that fabulous French broadcaster, Steve Romage, also on ESPN Louisville, all ESPN Louisville programming. We're your first place. And the reason we can put them on all is because the Kentucky game obviously won't be done until much later. And so we can have that on all the Louisville programming.
What time does pregame start again?
For which? For the Louisville game?
Yeah.
7:30.
Nice.
We're your first place in town for the calls here from Coach Mack and a lot more. So that's all tonight here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Again, if you haven't seen it, we mentioned it yesterday. Tremendous work by the folks in the publicity department, Lottie Stockwell, and I don't even know who the other people were involved in that. But that thing they did, I've watched it now probably 20 times because I just pick up the little subtleties of it. It is just fantastic. It's everybody getting ready for the Louisville, the bowl game, technically. And I don't want to ruin it for you. The premise is it's so SportsCenter-ish. It's, in fact, it was so – and I'm proudly influenced by the SportsCenter ones. It's got Vince Tyree in it and both Coach Satterfield and Coach Mack. And the just hilarious. I mean, all the little touches that are so SportsCenter-ish. The only thing missing was maybe trotting a few mascots in the background because that's always in the SportsCenter commercials. But the fact that Chris is sitting there with a guitar, that's just so perfect. And I just, the first time I didn't catch it completely. I mean, you heard it, but it didn't register that behind Vince at the beginning of the commercial, you hear the sound of the dial-up internet. That's just, I don't know who, that's just inspired
stuff.
That's
a little piece de resistance.
That is perfect. That is just the kind of absurdity that's always in the, the SportsCenter commercials. It's really, really good. So if you haven't seen it, you can check that out online at their, it's on Twitter, under their Twitter handle for Louisville Athletics. Very tasty. Let's see. Yeah, the guy says, that's exactly why I don't follow recruiting either. Apparently the kid was committed to Louisville for 6 months and may change his mind at the last second. I don't need to follow that nonsense, and that's what I say. It's the same thing. I don't know the kid from Adam. He may be Gandhi and St. Teresa rolled into one, but this is what I'm talking about. People want you to get on, and that's why, listen, you know, we joke about not talking sports. I like to talk sports, obviously. I made nothing but make my living in sports, and we try and follow the local stories. But the people who are like, well, how can you be talking about that? Don't you know they saw, you know, they've got in visits from this 5-4-star so and so. Good. When they get here and they're on the roster, let's talk about them till the cows come home. But until they're here, and until we actually find out what level they play at, because sometimes 3 stars play like stars, and 4 and 5 stars don't live up to their billing. And unfortunately, the term, which you hear all the time, he's reopened his recruiting. Well, then what the hell does a commitment mean? You know, you don't get married and say, I've reopened my dating life. I mean, that's, so it's just.
Well, I mean, you can, but.
Well, but that's called divorce. And you know, nobody finds that very pleasant. So I don't need to talk about this. You know, so let's find out at 2:15. You're coming? Great. Happy to have you. Welcome to town. You're not coming? Best of luck to you. Leave me alone. Dave Pash, what are you doing? What are you barking at me for?
I was going to say, or Pash on the fly. I was about to
No, we don't do on the fly. When we have a big guest, it's always a commercial first because it gives them the spotlight. It's the audio spotlight, as it were.
Oh, it's like the garden where they like dim all the lights.
It is. So when the minute the game starts, boom, they turn those lights out, and on center stage are just the players, the game, which is what it's all about. And, of course, Dave amazingly can still blink his eyes in unison, considering he works on a regular basis with Bill Walton. So I'm going to see, but we will try, by the way.
Supposed to be on right now, by the way.
As a heads up, we will try to get Dave Pash to give his home phone number when he joins us. So we'll do that next here.
I have his number. I could give it on the
air. Well, I don't think we should. We have to get him to do it. So we'll do that next here on ESPN 680-1057.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's Andy Sweet.
That was classic. That was great. All right, we'll bring him in here and let him enjoy like the rest of us. Him being Dave Pash, who will have the call of Kentucky and Utah tonight. Dave, that's my son who's the producer. He's so proud. He says, I got this great... They wait for the transition, he called it, all right? And he plays the music, and he's ready to cue me, and he points to me, and just as it's time to get you to get me to do the introduction of you, we hear, hi, I'm Andy Sweeney, who's another one of our hosts here. So that's what we rolled out for you, Dave. We had the special welcome to the program.
Finger slip. Sorry about that, Mr. Pash.
Hey, that's you know, that's what I tell my son Zeke. If you want to get into the family business, be prepared now. If you make a mistake, you know, there's different standards here. You know, your son is held to a different standard than anybody else.
That's it.
Don't let Doc Rivers or anybody else tell you differently, right?
That's it. You can't talk to a guy off the street like you talk to your son if he's producing the show. That's for sure.
Right.
It's great to catch up with you again. It's been a while since we talked and a long time since I had the privilege of working with you and calling a game and enjoying the success of your career. But I just have to ask you, maybe you'll give me a watch. I'll be the millionth person to ask you about calling the games with Bill Walton, which has to be slightly different than many of the other analysts with whom you've worked.
Well, certainly it is. I wouldn't even know, Bob, where to begin. but it is. It's different. It's unique. It's challenging. It's fun. It's exhausting. It's all the above. And it's hard to believe they've let us do this now for 8 years.
I know.
So it's which is an eternity in television, right? So.
Say this with great respect, probably because you do great work anyway, but you're probably one of the only people walking the planet that could deal with that for 8 years. God bless you for doing that. I mean, he is a handful.
I think Mike Breen, you know, could do it. He definitely could do it. I think there's probably a lot of guys that could do it. Breen is one that comes to mind right away that could handle it, no doubt.
No, but you guys are very entertaining, and you still manage to do a professional broadcast, even with Bill running all over the map. He's given you odd presents on the air. He's eaten cupcakes with candles. And, of course, most recently, he decided to give the late, great John Wooden's phone number out on the air. And then when asked about it, said, well, he's been dead for 8.5 years. He's not answering, which I thought was an interesting take on that. So,
as if that number somehow it belongs eternally to John Wood. it's not possible that someone else might get that phone number, right?
Well, so I feel it's my obligation, though, since Digger then outed Bill and gave his number. I think, would you mind giving your cell number out to all the listeners? You mind just telling everybody so they can give you a holler after the show? Probably not.
Here's the difference. Bill doesn't answer his phone or his text, so it doesn't matter if you have his number. And everybody in the world has his email address anyway, so I don't think he really cares. He's the one guy that doesn't really bother if everybody has his phone number.
He is fun to talk to, and I love when he tells the John Wooden stories, and and he has, boy, I'll tell you, he's either the best actor in the world or the dude is truly, truly a passionate advocate for the Pac-12.
You know, I don't know which one it is, but you know, I really don't. He does love the Pac-12, though, but he also loves Kentucky. So I think it's going to be a balanced broadcast tonight.
I'm sure it will. Speaking of that, Kentucky number six in the country. Utah's unranked, but Utah's off to an 8-2 start. Again, I don't say this to you to blow smoke up your skirt, but having worked with you, you are always tremendously prepared. So as you're putting together your notes and the preparation for this game, what jumped out at you as kind of things that you personally will want to focus on for the broadcast tonight?
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, going back to the Evansville loss, Kentucky is a team to me that defensively they're so good that they can just suffocate a lot of teams. But I do wonder about them long term this year, because can they shoot the ball well enough? Can they shoot the ball well enough to win a championship? And I don't know that tonight, you know, we'll really get that answer, but I think if you're a Kentucky fan, you got to be a little concerned. They just don't have reliable enough three-point shooting. I'm not sure really who does in college basketball, but Kentucky to me is a team that I'm a little concerned with offensively.
Well, and you get the feeling, because Cal is the master at taking whatever the landscape is and you know, positioning himself so that it sounds like a position of strength. I'm sure you heard the press conference the other day where basically, indirectly, he acknowledged the fact, I'm not sure we'll ever be a good three-point shooting team this year, but so what? We're not going to be at the mercy of, you know, other teams who, if they miss threes, they're in trouble. I was like, I'm not sure I buy that, Cal, but I think it speaks to the fact he's kind of reconciled himself to the fact that they're going to have to play around that. They're not suddenly going to take some magic pill and be great three-point shooters.
He's good enough to do that, man. I really think he's a terrific coach, and I think he's good enough to do that. What he's been able to do there, it's just remarkable. I mean, just watching the Pac-12 try to deal with these one-and-done players every year, and it's so hard, you know, watching what happened in Arizona last year, you know, UCLA. It's just so hard because of depth, maybe. I'm not sure, but it just seems like Kentucky is the only one that has consistent losses of very good freshmen, and they buy in to team defense. Mm. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I've said that too. I mean, the man deserves tremendous credit because every year, you know, you can say, well, he's got all these draft picks, but you're still reinventing the wheel basically every year because they don't all play the same way. And this year's a good example. I mean, they are going to have to work around a lack of consistent outside shooting, but he's always been a pretty good he's been an exceptional defensive coach, and this year's team probably more than ever is going to have to rely on that because there are going to be some nights they're just not, I don't think they're just making many shots, but the defense, as cliched as it is, that can be there every night, right, Dave?
I'm with you, B. I'm with you. I think defensively they're excellent, and I think their guard's really good defensively, but I'm with you on the shooting, and, you know, maybe that doesn't mean a top two seed. And maybe that's better for them, right? Maybe it's better for them to be a three or a four. And, you know, it's all so much about matchups. It's also much about, you know, how you're playing that day. But they're good enough defensively where if they make some shots in the NCAA tournament, I wouldn't count them out.
Dave Pasch is with us. I'll have the call with Bill Walton for the game tonight between Kentucky and Utah. Let me ask you just your thoughts on this, because when they came into the season, Ashton Hagans was the guy that they pointed to as he's going to really have to be the alpha dog. And then, you know, we did the Champions Classic in New York for ESPN Radio, and Maxey was spectacular. And we thought, I don't know, maybe he's going to have to share the top billing. But still, he's the guy that Cal talks to all the time. And he had some nice moments in the win against Georgia Tech. But, I mean, he had 21 points, which was well above his average. But he also made 6 turnovers. And I'm curious, do you think he was somehow distracted a bit by how good Maxey was? Or he's taking time to figure it out? Or what do you look at when you see his play right now?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting over there for shoot-around and kind of getting a sense of that myself, because I did notice the back-to-back games of 6 turnovers, and I've also noticed Maxey 1-for-17 the last 2 games.
Yep.
So that's why I say it's just offensively, I'm not quite sure what you're going to get with them. But, again, I think defensively they're that good. But I am kind of curious, the dynamic. You know, you really get a sense in shoot-around of the dynamic of the personality of a team. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing them go and hearing what Coach Cal has to say about that.
All right, I know you got to get the shooter on, so I don't want to keep you long, but I do want to ask you because, unfortunately, not a great year, but you are the voice of the Arizona Cardinals as well. So what do you make of the play of their highly touted rookie quarterback, and is there optimism going forward? What is the future for the Cardinals, do you think, and the in terms of internally, there's great optimism there, skepticism, cautious optimism? What's the lay of the land there?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism with Kyler Murray, and there should be. He's been really good. He, for the most part, has not played like a rookie. He's made some rookie mistakes. He's had one or two games where he's looked like a rookie, but to do what he's done this year, to play as well as he has with a bad defense, not a lot of weapons around him, David Johnson, who knows, you know, what the future holds with him. Their best offensive player outside of Kyler Murray is Kenyon Drake, who they picked up week 8. So, patchwork offensive line, first-year NFL head coach. I think Kyler's been excellent, and I think he's a franchise quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, but he's terrific, and I think he's only going to get better. So the fact that you're building around a player like that, you've already got the key piece. You know, in the NFL, that's the key piece you have to have. The Cardinals haven't had that for a while. They've got it now. But they have a lot of work to do elsewhere. But he is the least of my concern right now.
How has – I'm not looking as a pointed question, looking to get scuttlebutt or something. But Cliff Kingsbury, the coach, who did not exactly come in off, you know, just a dominant college career, first-year coach. And, you know, there's a lot of not his movie star looks notwithstanding. Obviously some attributes that would make him desirable to NFL franchises. But you never know how fans are going to take to the guy till he actually starts the job. How's he been greeted by the community, the Cardinal fans in Arizona?
Pretty well. You know, again, he's a guy that I'm not concerned about. I think, you know, he's pretty creative. He's never had, other than when he had Mahomes at Texas Tech, he's never had – and Manziel for the year that he was the offensive coordinator at A&M, he's never really had, you know, the guys to work with. He's never had this many weapons. I found it hard to really judge him on Texas Tech because everything I heard about him from other people in college football and the NFL was how smart he is and how hard he works. And those two things have played out. I mean, the guy is a grinder. And you know, he's really creative. I think he's adapted to the NFL game. I mean, they're not running the air raid. I mean, it's got concepts of the air raid, but it's an NFL offense. I mean, he's using tight ends. He didn't do that at Texas Tech. So I just like the fact that he's willing to learn from other assistants that have been in the league that understand, hey, this is how you have to have your offensive line play. You can't, you know, have your offensive line do the same blocking schemes of an air raid system in college. He's adapted to those things. And I think, again, the quarterback and the head coach, I think, are fine.
Well, that's as good a place to start as any. Dave Pasch, one of the best in the business, and you'll hear his call on ESPN tonight for Kentucky and Utah, 11 o'clock local time, or here, of course, 8 o'clock out there where he is, and Kentucky an 11-point favorite in that game. Dave, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. I hope I see you down the road.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to the Val Vano family. You guys take care.
All right, be well. Thanks, buddy. Dave Pasch, good guy, good broadcaster. He'll have the call of the game this evening. We will step aside, but don't forget, as we already told you about the post-game show for Kentucky and Utah, that'll be kind of late, but you'll hear about it. And we have the post-game and the pre-game for Louisville as well, because the games are separated by so much time, we can do both of them. So that's what you'll want to do. U of L in Miami, that programming is on all our sticks, and the Kentucky-Utah we'll be back from ESPN 680 1057 after that matchup as well. Don't forget the NFL is here on ESPN as well. A triple header on Saturday. Texans and Bucks 12:30. 680-1057. The Bills and the Patriots. That's a really compelling game there. 680-1057 again. That's at 4:15. Then the UK game is Saturday. So after that game, we'll join the Rams and the 49ers. Also an interesting matchup. 49ers showing a little vulnerability of late. People wondering, are they truly a Super Bowl contender, as a lot of people thought they were? I'm not sure 1 week should dismiss that, but you'll find out a little bit more against the Rams team, playing with some sense of desperation there from what's been a disappointing year for them. And then on Sunday, three more games, Panthers and Colts at noon on 680-1057. And then we, of course, are your home for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. They take on the Browns, 12:30 on 93.9 The Ville. The Chiefs and Bears at 7:30 on 93.9 The Ville on Sunday Night Football. NFL on ESPN Louisville is presented by UPS Jobs, BJ Heating and Cooling, Dave and Buster's Louisville at Mall St. Matthews, and the Cryo Lounge in St. Matthews as well. Cryo Lounge Kentucky. Cryo Lounge KY is the website. CryoLoungeKY.com. Mention ESPN, you'll get a free session. Bowl games coming up, and we'll be giving you the Sagarins on all of those as we go forward. That's a little dicey, though. You're never sure who's going to play, who's not going to play. The Camellia Bowl, FIU and Arkansas State is Saturday at 5:30 on 93.9 The Ville. Then the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl with App State and UAB at 9 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. The bowl season is presented by Caesars Southern Indiana, UPS Jobs, Baptist Sports Medicine, and the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. Let's see what else we got. This is today, right? UK coach Mark Stoops press conference is today in the 2 o'clock hour. Is that right? On ESPN 680-1057?
It was. It got rescheduled for 3:30.
So I'll be gone.
Yeah. So, of course, Stoops and Satterfield are going to be at the same time. Uh-huh. So I think the current game plan is ESPN 680-1057 will carry Mark Stoops. 93.9 The Ville will carry Scott Satterfield.
So we'll have both
pressers live here in the city. It just stinks that they're at the same time.
And that's to that point. So Satterfield, Coach Satterfield's press conference will be, as he said, at 3:30. So they're both at the same time. You'll have one on one stick, one on the other. There you go. All right. It is Wednesday. It's a We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. Did you know We Want to Know Wednesday? Somebody sent us one, and it's not showing up on my feed right here. Is this true? I hope it's true because it's a really good factoid. We Want to Know Wednesday, the huddle was first used in the late 1800s, 1890s. Is a guy making this up? He's kind of sense funny stuff.
We Want to Know Wednesday.
We need to document this.
We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday.
Because they were playing football back then.
Right.
Let's go see if this is true before I tell you what it is.
That's with flatmate Thomas, Tom Farmer.
Yeah, well, he'll be around. Don't let anybody kid you.
Eric
here.
Crawford will join at 1:40 as well. And you got Jack Diddle. You know what? In the 2 o'clock.
I didn't mean to doubt you, my friend. This is absolutely the truth. The huddle was first used in the 1890s by quarterback Paul Hubbard, who was deaf. Hubbard was concerned the other team could interpret his hand signals, so he brought his teammates into a round formation to call the plays so he could signal it with his hands, and the other team couldn't see it. And that is absolutely true. If you go to Wikipedia, and if you can't trust that, who can you trust? He played at Gallaudet University, who I coached against when I was at Catholic U in Washington. They actually have some pretty decent athletic teams, football especially. They really, you know, there's a lot of kids, hearing impaired kids that are comfortable playing there. They do the count for the snap on a big bass drum so they can feel the vibration. That's how they know when the snap count is. He was credited, Paul Hubbard, with inventing the modern huddle. He lived from 1871 to 1946, and that is exactly
a great story.
Inventor of the huddle. He graduated actually from the Colorado School for the Deaf and Blind in 1889, went to Gallaudet as the quarterback of the team. He invented the huddle. How about that?
And he returned. He lived in a cupboard his whole year.
No, I don't think so.
Youth.
That's old. Well, his mother did.
Right.
Mother Hubbard.
But single
didn't.
Mother coming from a cupboard?
No, that's quite a
deaf
story.
Come on. Yeah. Overcoming all kinds
he
of
He returned to Olathe, Kansas as a teacher and coach at the Kansas School for the Deaf. He initiated the school's football program in 1899. He coached at the school for many years, eventually relinquished his title as coach and finished the remainder of his years as the school's first athletic director, having worked there, retiring in 1942 after 43 years at the school. So very nice. So
we want
good. We want to Wednesday.
We want to Wednesday.
We want to Wednesday. Yeah, that's very good. All right, we got some good ones that we'll bring to the party as well. But
I don't know if this one's true or not, but it was in reply to a text that the Crunchstones LJ the Fiasco tweeted something about how, like, you know, somebody had a take, and then it was like trying to put the hot take out with kerosene and C4. And Dr. Colby mentioned that C4, the explosive component, and it is so stable that you
How stable is it?
It's so stable that you could light C4 on fire, and it won't detonate.
How do you detonate it?
I think you have to have like a controlled electrical
ask it nice
charge.
You have to ask it very
respectfully. That's very dangerous.
I love how people are getting competitive about this. Guy sends, I sent the deaf guy creating the huddle a long time ago. I'm sorry, sir. We might have mentioned it and I forgot, or we just didn't mention it that week because we didn't see it. So I apologize.
I'm going to be 100% honest.
We did mention it?
No, there's a really good chance I haven't messaged, unless you've messaged them and they haven't emailed me. The last like two V-Stakes winners and the last week's We Wanted a Wednesday guy, I'm not sure.
There you go.
Anyone reached out to them.
Screwing the people out of their prizes. Just absolutely way to win friends and influence people. He's the anti, not Zig Ziglar. Who's the guy who wrote that book? How to Win Friends and Influence People. Oh, my God.
The guy who did the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Oh,
you know, that guy's son wrote one for teenagers. It's pretty good, actually.
What's it called? How to Develop Acne and...
No, it was like 14 Steps or whatever.
How to
but it was a good read. We read it in health class
and
in high
influence
school.
Influence people is I can't.
He was a quarterback for BYU.
Dale Carnegie, for God's sake. How stupid do you have to be not to remember that? Come on, man.
Wait, like, is he of the Carnegies?
I don't know. You know, I have no idea. I just know he was the guy that was one of the first motivational speakers and, you know.
Who would win in a fight, the Carnegies or the Rockefellers? Throw the Kennedys in there, too. What the hell?
Well, they would fight dirty. Hey, how you doing? Dale Carnegie was an American writer. Dale Breckinridge Carnegie developed famous courses in self-improvement, salesmanship, corporate training, public speaking, and interpersonal skills. Born into poverty on a farm in Missouri, so I don't think that he was in some sort of an influential family. He was just a guy who was pulled himself up by his bootstraps and said, damn it, state your business. State your business. I need to know the business. Hey, you can't have a conversation without stating your business. What the hell's his business?
You're taking care of stuff behind the
scenes. I need to know what.
Well, I know how much you like recruiting.
Oh, God.
Chubba Purdy is announcing at 2:15.
We've already covered that. I actually mentioned it.
But now we have a stream and everything. That's what I was updating.
You got to listen to the whole press conference?
Well, I mean, the stream's going to take forever, too. I mean, this is going to hijack 30 minutes of content for you guys, just so you know. Maybe 35, 40 minutes.
35 seconds. Ready? Here's how it should go. I'm Chubba Purdy. I'm attending blank.
Yeah, but
guys
don't do the hat thing anymore, man. It's all Instagram. You would... I mean, quite frankly, people like you have ruined it for the rest of us that enjoyed the hat, that enjoyed the mother being upset.
I would enjoy it.
And the uncle and the auntie and everybody else.
If he took the hat of the school that he was going to go to and did either the Tarantella or the Mexican hat dance, now you got content. I'd love for him to jump up and just do... And people, well, look at Chubba Purdy. He can pick him up and put him down. Can't he, that kid? But if he's just going to put a hat on and fake and do the... Stop. Just tell me where the hell you're going.
A Kentucky recruit had, I think, an NC State shirt on, and people cheered, and they ripped it off and had a Kentucky one. Yeah, but if it's your school, that feels damn good.
No, I'm telling you. You should be allowed to bring rotten fruit to those things, and if a guy tries to trick
you can
pummel him with tomatoes, and like in a cartoon show.
Oh, if Chubba Purdy picks Florida State, I hope there's a Mark Blankenbaker clone that's there in Arizona throwing a rotten apple at him. Yeah, you're damn right.
Now that's content.
What would Arizona Mark Blankenbaker look like?
And the guy says, here's we're getting texts. I was wondering what happened to my V-Stakes prize pack. There you go.
We were discussing back here what Mark Blankenbaker's Arizona doppelganger would be. And collectively, all the guys out there, Andy Process Coop and Flatmate Thomas were just like, tan. It was just Mark Blankenbaker, but tan.
Okay. I was wondering what happened to my V-Stakes prize pack, Dexter says. Y'all need a sounder for We Already Knew That Wednesday. We already knew that Wednesday. We already knew that Wednesday. That's pretty good. Did you know the letter J? Wow, that's a good one. We want to know Wednesday. Did you know the letter J is the only letter not on the periodic table? I feel bad for it. Don't you feel bad for that? Somebody should come up with a new periodic element and just so
just
we can put
Jamie,
a J.
The element of success.
The element. You know that. That's what the guy says. He's reading that comedian, that British comedian. I can't do it justice. He's reading the symbols for the various, the elements, and he does, you know, whatever it is. I don't know the symbols. Do you know the symbols? Give me three
symbols.
A couple
of them. Potassium, K.
All right. Potassium, K. Gold, AU. And then, I don't know, is there another one? Is oxygen an element? I don't even know.
I think so.
Okay.
Sodium.
He screamed at oxygen! Said that was the element of surprise. It's pretty good. Have listeners ever come by the station demanding their prize?
Oh, there was one guy, and I felt really bad. It was when I first started here, and it was one of our big prizes too. It wasn't like a V Stakes. It was like one of those like Masters tournaments or something like
Whoa.
That, or the Olympics or something like that. By the way, I think the girl at the time I was trying to holler at on Bumble won one of our contests, and I didn't give her the prize.
No, that explains why that didn't go anywhere.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure we ever picked a winner for that. I don't remember.
Have listeners?
Anyway,
okay.
This guy was, he kept calling, and I got kind of short with him one time. And he was like, hey, man, like, you said you were going to give me this thing for like 3 weeks. I'm just asking when I can get down there. And he got kind of short with me, and I got kind of short with him on the phone. And then he showed up, and I was like, just get here, and I'll give you the damn prize. I got really pissy with him.
You met the girl.
It was not my finest person. It was not my finest hour. And so he showed up, and he was a state trooper, and he was in uniform.
Oh, nice.
And he was like, can I please? Like, he was nice, but I was just like, I'm going to give this guy everything I can find. So he basically got like three different V-Show prize packs because I didn't want to get arrested.
I hope this guy.
I didn't do anything wrong, but I felt like it was a matter of time.
I don't know if this guy just tuned in and wants us to be talking about it for 2 hours, or he knows we were talking about it and he knows I don't like recruiting that much. Did you know Chubba Purdy was committing today? Yes, we talked about that, and we said we will talk about that later on in the show. Let Bob talk about busting a nut, LOL. Won't do that, or did that yesterday.
That was good stuff.
Have listeners ever come by the station and thrown fruit at the studio window? No, but I kind of would like that, actually. I think that would be kind of fun, as long as it didn't break the glass.
Yeah, well, that could be kind of... What are we going to do? They should be able to do it as long as they only hit Jason's face.
Did you know I put Fiji water in my humidifier as a guilty pleasure?
Does that help?
That's a false one. Did you know Bob never talks sports? We just talked about the UK game with Dave Pasch. The stop. That's silly.
Try harder. Silly. Troll harder.
Silly, silly, silly. Why was the favorite son in a suit in a studio? We're all dressed up today because we had a fantastic meeting with the folks at the James Graham Brown Cancer Center about the Kentuckiana Friends of V. All I'm telling you is stay tuned because there are some very cool things that are
going
to be coming up soon, and we are going to be very humble and proud to be right in the middle of that. So there you go. Did you know there are more than 24 time zones in the world? You know how I know that's true? Because oddly enough, and I don't know why they would do this, there's a time zone in Canada that's on the half hour. Eastern Canada.
Really?
It's time zone in the half hour.
Why?
Yes.
Why do they do that?
I prefaced it by saying I have no idea why they do it.
I'm kind of just.
Then you just asked me what I just said. I don't know.
Well, but people do that sometimes. It's okay. They hear it, and then they say it too. Like, how could that be?
So that would be at least 25. That would be 25 time zones at the very least. I hate to get something started, but Pringles are not potato chips. Other chip makers complain because they're not made of thinly sliced potatoes. They're made of dehydrated potato flakes.
Oh, yeah. That got covered during the whole Cheeto debate worldwide.
The whole Cheeto debate. Like, we talk about it like it was, you know, the eras, like, of, you know, there was the Iron Age and then the potato chip debate age. Did you know the Goodyear blimp is nothing short of iconic, but we couldn't say it could be... What?
Sound it out.
Oh, all right. Well, you don't need the first part. The guy obviously cut and pasted something, and the first part was just kind of window dressing.
We want to know Wednesday.
Redondo Beach.
We want to know Wednesday.
Redondo Beach is a coastal city situated near the Goodyear blimp's home airport in Carson, California. Passed a resolution in 1983 to make the blimp its official bird.
That's hilarious.
I like that. Then let's see. Ravens had a record NFL players voted to the Pro Bowl this season. How about that? So will 93.9 carry the Pro Bowl due to its official Ravens station? We carry it anyway because it's an ESPN broadcast, right? Or no, that's a Westwood One. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm sure we carry it.
I think we have a format sheet for it. So I think we've aired it before. And also,
here's a UK fan pissed off. Yes, we do that. We already talked about it, but it's a way to, I guess, shoehorn it into We Want to Know Wednesday. Did you know UK basketball place? Maybe he was dictating it in the computer, just did that because he wrote place instead of PLAYS. It says PLACE. But again, verbal communication gets the thought across. Did you know UK basketball plays tonight at 11 Eastern time, and it's an absolute disgrace, and it's slap in the face to the Big Blue Nation to play a neutral site game that late. So he's cranky about that. But that's what Cal does. He's playing home games, and he's returning them, quote-unquote, by playing in a neutral site arena. About one in every 200 men are a direct descendant of Genghis Khan. Is that true? That one has to be looked up. Because
Genghis got around.
I thought you could say the same thing about Will Chamberlain, can't you? Did you know that Major League umpires are required to wear black underwear? We've already done that. We already knew that Wednesday. That's been on about five times. Ike, don't go. Don't play that game. I'll read this. You remember we used to have – state your business. State your business. What's he doing?
It's Brian Hall.
Why is he in there?
He's here.
Why is everyone coming into the room again?
The system.
What are you doing?
The Kentucky Belk Bowl and our bowl season coverage and NFL Saturday where we got a triple header.
You know, I got a question for everybody, including you and all your colleagues back there. This is not the Stone Age. It's electronic age now. Why does everyone have to come in this damn computer? Why can't you put it in another freaking computer? There's a thing called the cloud. You guys familiar with that? You can go to China and access all your documents here. But we can't figure out how to load something 35 feet away and access it in the studio. Right. How does that work exactly?
Okay, you done?
Anybody familiar with technology? These are called computers.
Right.
You seen them? They're not little televisions. All right.
You done?
Not really, but I got a lot more, but I feel like I need a breath.
Because we do need to get to break. And that was a nice little radio tease. You'll hear some of these spots in this commercial break coming up. Yeah. And then we'll get flatmate Tom Farmer on for his We Want to Know Wednesday of the week.
Okay.
We need a little sounder for that as well. But you're talking about technology and computers and everything like that. This is blanking radio. Mm-hmm. Everything for radio, my theory, was made in 1970. And then they just stopped making equipment. And then half of the things back here helped land the space shuttle.
You're going to make me tread on very, very thin ice.
Why?
Because I don't know that that's true.
Yes, it is.
At every radio station. How many other radio stations you worked at? What did he say?
What'd you say?
So don't worry, I'm done now.
All right, thanks. There goes Brian Hall, everybody.
Brian Hall, ladies and gentlemen. Producer of
Mid-Asian
Markets.
I think that you
Marcus
can
Bannon.
Say that for our equipment. I'm not quite certain you could say that. Radio stations everywhere.
No, see, that's the thing. I've asked other people. We had a guy who worked here, came from NBC Studios. NBC Studios, the national one, in New York. And he said, oh, wow, the board here is much nicer than the one they use up there. All these boards are built to last. We spill crap on them all the time. And by we, I mean me. I mean, they're very durable. They last. This thing, it's not digital.
I say this with fantastic love and affection for both you, the company for which I work, and the space in which we're sitting. That board
hasn't been
state of the art since, I'm going to say, the last term for Lyndon Johnson.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's my
guess. I didn't say it's state of the art. I'm saying that you're making my point for me, but I've seen the ones the competitors use.
I just said they're old. Why not get modern technology where everybody doesn't have to walk in the middle of my show to put something in a computer?
Well, that's the thing. This computer kind of runs both studios, so you do kind of have to load some of the stuff up here. And if you don't, well, then it gets kind of tricky because if you load a spot back there and I need to delete it up here because, you know, it's like, come into, you know, Happy Pants Emporium for the 4th of July sale. Like, yeah. Well, that spot's not right. I have to delete it. But if it's loaded back there,
I have to go back there to delete it. Just so in case you're scoring
Bottom
at home.
Line is.
So let's get this straight. I just want to make sure I've got it right. I watch commercials, and the cloud came about,
well,
I don't know, 10 years
medium.
Ago.
You can't watch these. You just listen to them.
So if I'm doing something like I got a friend in Timbuktu, and I say, I want you to see this. I go on my computer, any damn place in the world, and I go, bip, 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 and I put it in the cloud, and I say, hey, Raul, go check out my thing here, and you could see it. And he goes in Timbuktu, they have electricity, and he goes, bip, bip. Oh, he goes, oh, that's really cool. But we, in a radio communications industry,
can't figure out a way to put information in that we have to access on this computer 35 feet away. That, no, when you explain it that way, that makes perfect sense. Now I get that.
Okay,
now.
I'm telling
you. No, I understand it. I'm just saying.
You have, all you're doing is hotkeying something over here. Is Thomas in the studio?
Yes, but
Thomas, I'm potting him up because he's learning the board a little bit. He can run the board.
He's not going to be an ally of yours, trust me.
He's going to be an ally of mine.
Does that make sense to you, Tom?
Yes, it does, because you have to at least be able to. All they're doing, they're loading the spot someplace else. They're doing something called hotkeying it, which means it's hot, which means that I can just pull it right over, and then it's hot, so we can play it.
Right.
And it's good. It makes it easier. It's streamlined. It's hot. All right, that's all they're doing. Now, sometimes they text me, and then I do it while pretending to listen to you. Sometimes they just come in, and they're like, here,
well,
Nick,
Bob,
why don't you
crying.
Actually listen
it's
to
it's not that big a deal. Thank you, sir. For all the radio host shows that you've hosted, when people walk in your control room when you're in the middle of talking, it has didn't distra- Oh, that's right. You never hosted a radio show. That's right. For a minute, I was trying to think you had credibility, and then I realized you were just talking out your ass.
And
all
I'm
right,
definitely
so.
Not taking a side, because as an Irishman...
What the hell?
As an Irishman, I know not to get in between two fighting Italians.
Attaboy. Right? That is... We want to know, and say, did you know that the flatmate Tom has incredible common sense? Here's a guy... Illini Ike, I'm a little disappointed in this.
What?
He played one of the match game things on our national show and won a prize.
Right.
And he then wrote me and said, I never got my prize. And I sent him like a big envelope, and inside was like an ESPN sticker. And he was pissed about that. And I was like, don't you hear the disclaimer? Every time we played that game, we said, you can win a fabulous prize. And we got Andy Elric to say what?
The prize is not fabulous.
Thank you. So we were just being true to our credo. It's not a fabulous prize.
But see, our prize packs are pretty nice.
No, here we don't say that because they're spectacular prizes.
It's just a V-Show prize pack, though, we should clarify, is random crap that we grab. And by crap, I don't mean like it's bad. I'm just saying like random items.
Stuff.
Like, it's just stuff. It's random things. It might be a gift card to one of our great sponsors, such as Papa John's. It might be at Eugenio Suarez bobblehead. And the Reds might not suck next year. So some of these guys, you know, they might be cool. A calendar, if you will. Season 5 of The Office, which I'm still not really sure how the hell we got those. But for a while, we were getting just random-ass Blu-rays from somebody.
Yeah, that was Phil. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure. I'm not quite sure. But remember he had those really big pants? I'm pretty sure he was stealing them. I think he would just go and stuff them down the front. And then he was like, I got your prize taken care of for the next couple of weeks. And he'd reach in. He knew what he had because he was just throwing them down there. But good work out of Phil. Oh, this guy's so sweet but naive. The same guy who I just jumped on said, I'm speaking for the listeners who tune in to hear your analysis. You big mad or little mad? No, but your premise is wrong. If you tune in this show for analysis, I mean, that's like going to Howard Johnson for a tire change. I mean, what the hell are you doing that? I mean, you tune in here to have Nick and I scream at each other and say, man, that is one wacky-ass family there. And then you feel better about your own life.
And we sprinkle in a little bit of
that. And like the Hojo, you get 31 flavors.
That's 31 flavors. You act like it's the hardest job in the world to argue about sports. The arrogance is real. Well, now you went over the line. So we were having fun, but now you've lost it, and so we will ignore you for the rest of
your
days.
It was fun, and then he had to knock over all
the sprinkles. Is it Wound Up Wednesday? Could be.
Could be.
Family Feud works better on TV. Survey said, no, it doesn't. Nick, mute your toddler's mic. He's having a tantrum on the air.
I'm not.
He was talking about me.
Oh.
You act like it's hard.
Do you want a binky?
You read that? Let's see. Do you know there's an ESPN?
I have some DeCourcy sound, too,
30
so we
for
can
30,
talk some
yes,
basketball,
funny.
Too.
Did you know? This would probably be a bad one.
We want to know Wednesday.
Wow. This
we
is a. You would appreciate
we
this.
We want to know Wednesday.
Flatmate Tom would appreciate this because he likes the technical We Want to Know Wednesdays. Cousins whose parents are identical twins.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Share 25% of their DNA instead of the usual 12.5%. While full siblings share 50% of their DNA, half siblings share 25%. That's why, though children of identical twins are legally cousins, they are genetically the equivalent of half siblings.
Very true.
Wow. You knew that?
Yeah.
See, he knew that already.
Well, I made Thomas know.
No, he brings
Tom
crap.
Farmer.
He brings impressive crap to the table. And now, let's get to the impressive crap that flatmate Tom has brought to the show today.
I don't have any imaging yet made for this, so we'll just do the standard.
We'll put the Woodrow Wilson cheerleaders greeting. Girls, look who's here. It's flatmate Tom.
Oh, crap. What the hell
give it up for flatmate Tom, kids.
Right
kids.
Back.
Kids! Whoa, you got a double cheer. Thank you, girls.
All right. The marching band's here, too.
Was he going to do a high dive? What is this?
Jeez, you're setting me up.
All right.
Well, that's no, it's like the number of salutes. There was actually a very quick fact just because of that. The 21-gun salute, it's kind of like the top salute or whatever. But there was this whole mechanism that the British came up with to honor different levels of heads of state. So, like, some guys would only qualify for 7, other guys would get 13. And it was a big deal to, like, make sure you kept rising in the ranks of how many guns saluted you.
So, oh, yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
So, like, if you were way up in the thing, you could absolutely blow the whole ammunition
depot. Yeah. Anyway, it was about the British Raj. You know, check out that history on that. I came.
Extremely
fascinating and interesting.
Bad promo for check it out Tuesdays for the British Gun Salute Show.
What was the most number gun salute some guy got?
21 is the
21
maximum.
Is the size it goes. That's, because that's blackjack.
Country to country, 21 gun salute.
That's it. You get 21, it's a natural. It's an automatic winner.
Yeah. I brought to you today a question. So my question to you, Mr. Valvano, is how long is a year?
Hey. Oh, I thought he was asking something else. How long is a year? Well, it would be 365 1/4 days.
Incorrect. You're close, though.
Okay.
It used to be 365 1/4 days.
Now how long is it?
It's 365.2425 days.
Oh, man. That explains why I'm always so rushed.
Well, you know how the leap years work, and you know most people are familiar with the fact that the leap years have that weirdness where it's like if it's the year 2000, it is a leap year, but if it's the year 1600, it's not a leap year.
Correct.
And if it's a multiple of this and a multiple of that,
right?
Well, that all averages out to 365.2425. But the most fascinating part about all that is why the heck is even that in the first place?
Okay, why is that in the first place?
Well, years used to be 365 days, just flat out, because the Romans didn't know the difference between the sun and whatever.
Dumbass Romans. Right?
And they had actually a 360-day year. And they would
Good
just,
Lord, by the summer and they were snowing, weren't they? Tipped they off, would, they screwed it up?
They would tack 5 days on the end and make it a big party.
Oh, I like that on second Ooh. Thought. I like that
I
idea.
Love that
Isn't
idea.
Isn't that like kind of the
Oh, man, why don't
Christmas?
We go back to that?
Kind of similar, yeah. But yeah, they would tack like 5 years on the or 5 days on the end and say, let's just party for 5 days.
They would do that how often?
Every year.
Every year they tack 5 days on the end, like 5 free days.
Because they didn't want to fit that extra, they didn't have the extra month to do. They said,
I'm doing it
12
next
months.
Year. I'm
30
just
days
absolutely
a month.
Doing that.
Yeah, well, tell management that.
They finally smartened up a little bit and realized that the Earth doesn't necessarily agree with the whole 365.
Typical.
It takes a little bit longer for the Earth to actually go around the sun.
Okay.
And so they're like, okay, well, let's average that out 365 and a quarter, right? Okay. So they invented the leap year. And for 1,500 years, basically, from the time of Julius Caesar to the year 1500, the year was 365 1/4 days.
Okay.
Well, somebody, a very smart Italian person, actually,
that's,
you know,
that's
kind of
redundant,
they go around.
Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Noticed that the spring equinox wasn't exactly occurring on the date that they thought it was supposed to be. And you think, well, who cares, right? Well, they said in the Roman times that every spring equinox always occurred on March 25th because that's the best they could figure out.
Right.
Couple smart guys said, actually, no, it's like it's advancing 20 minutes a year.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
And there's something wrong with that. Well, why is that so important? Like, why does it matter except for maybe counting calendar days? Well, there's a very particular religious holiday that is very contingent upon when the spring equinox is, and it's Easter. And that's because Easter has to occur after Passover, which has to occur after the equinox, after the full moon that comes after, right?
It's a lot of contingency.
A whole lot of stuff. There's actually a word for it. It's called computus. There's literally a word that describes figuring out what date Easter is supposed to be on.
This is what he brings.
So the guy said, well, wait a minute.
Sounds like an Optimus Prime's enemy, Computus.
If the equinox is changing because the Earth is spinning and wobbling and doing all this sorts of rotation and everything like that, and Easter is not on the day that we're celebrating Easter, we're going to go to hell, right?
Oh,
and they literally thought that they were going to go to hell because they were celebrating Easter on the
wrong
day. And so
God, that would be.
The reason we call it the Gregorian calendar is because Pope Gregory said, you know what? Let's fix all this. Let's make the year 365.2425 days. And to catch up, we're just going to delete 10 days and go from October 1st to October 11th.
Oh, man.
And people in the year 1500, whatever, literally thought that they had had days taken away from their lives. Like they were going to live 10 less days. And they got all mad about it.
Wow.
And then the other part about it, the crazy part, is you had Protestants and Catholics. The Protestants were like, that's Catholic gibberish. I'm not doing that. So the Protestant countries were on a different calendar. They were 10 days before, and all the Catholic countries were 10 days later. The last country to do it was the Greeks, because the Greek Orthodox Church, they still celebrate Easter differently than Catholic Church, because they're on the old calendar. But it wasn't until 1923 that the Greeks caught up with the rest of the world and were having the same day on the same day. But literally, the reason that your year is 365.2425 days is because some Italian Catholic guys in the 1500s were really worried about celebrating Easter same day. And that's your We Want to Know Wednesday.
That's a darn good one. But
What I count out of that, though, as much as the rest of it was compelling.
How do we get back to that five free days at the end of the year? That is awesome.
That's always been my favorite. 12 months of 30 days.
That's perfect.
Even, none of this 31.
Sing that song to yourself, 30 days. Or do the thing on your knuckles. No, now you just know every day, every damn month, 30 days.
And just have a five-day party.
And a five-day
and every now and then,
bender.
Every now and then, you get a six-day party on a leap year.
Man, and then one year, on leap year, it's 6 days.
It's a free week.
And you could get all the liquor delivered for free, because we have that liquor barn.
Absolutely.
Man, would they be busy those 6 days? Those poor guys have to get new tires. They spend
6 days at Dave and Buster's drinking liquor from liquor barn.
Oh, my God. What a day. Quality Texter
says,
other
sponsors can we
I just tuned in. Is this Jamie talking? Whoa, how about that?
No, I'm way smarter than Jamie.
Oh, man. Oh, that's them's fighting words. Watch out there.
Well, thank you all.
Jamie, like, we get it for you.
That'll cue my exit as an Irishman who promised not to fight in between Italians. Yes. So I will see you all later.
All right, very nice. That was good work out of Flatmate Tom and the Woodrow Wilson cheerleaders. Give one more resounding hand to thank him for his contribution. Pluto takes 248 years to orbit the sun, meaning it has not completed a single orbit since it was first discovered in 1930. God, I don't think we'll be around to see it actually do that. It would be the year 2178. I don't like my chances of making that. How you feel about that? Just got to live another 159 years.
Just bust out the Vitality program. You got a puncher's chance.
This is good. This is becoming a running joke. Everybody is going to repeatedly send me, they have to wear the black underwear. That's become the thing now. It's hard for me to keep track of it. We have enough moving parts that we introduce ourselves, all the characters that we've got on the show. And the fact of the matter is that the listeners themselves, much to their great credit, have created their own alternative universe to our alternative universe. So we're like three different universes.
It's like multiverse theory.
It really is. Is this true?
You've heard of multiverse theory? Where the idea is that any possible outcome that could ever happen ever has happened in some sort of universe. So by that admission, in one of these universes, these quintillion universes, probably way more than that, quintillion billion universes, there is one universe where you are Batman.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but there's a good texter here who said something. I saw this great show the other day about Ghostbusters. It says, watching a great show the other day. Do you know Ghostbusters were originally supposed to be John Belushi, Eddie Murphy, and Dan Aykroyd, who wrote it because his family were actually Ghostbusters? I did know Aykroyd wrote it. He pitched it to a production company as three men who chase ghosts, even providing a sketch of the Marshmallow Man. He likened them to normal pest control workers, say that calling a Ghostbuster was just like getting rats removed. It's a brilliant bit of writing. And
I'd like to read that.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. All right, let's find out who we are and where we are and be legal.
Do you want to take a full break? Or?
All right. Okay, we'll take a break and then we'll come back.
All right, we got some DeCourcy sound on the other side.
DeCourcy sound on the other side.
And then Eric Crawford will join.
Eric Crawford.
He'll join at 1:40.
1:40.
Thank you, Echo Man.
Yes.
Keep it locked here. ESPN Louisville.
ESPN Louisville.
680-1057.
1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.